Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and our guest today is Emmanuel. Welcome, Emmanuel.
Hello, David. How are you today?
Good. Doing great. Great. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
What I like to do is, for each show, I like to start by setting an intention for the show. Any thoughts as to what would be a good intention?
Just waking people up to sound as a healing motive instead of running to the doctor and getting a shot.
Cool. Okay, so our intention is just that, to bring sound back into the mainstream so people don't have to give their power away. Nice. Before we get started, though, I wanted to tell people about some things happening at the Institute. First of all, we've got starting August 4th to the 16th, we've got the Summer Intensive, which is 2 weeks at the Institute. We go from 10 to 9:30 every day, and as I always say, we haven't killed off a person yet. People go in the zone and get really deep. They go really deep, and it's really majorly transformational. So if you're anywhere in the country, you could fly in, and you can even stay at the Institute for only $100 for the whole 2 weeks. You could stay. We don't have beds or showers, but there's a YMCA really close. And so that's half of the certificate program, and you could finish the other half online or at the Institute if you wanted to move here. We actually have the full certificate program starting September 3rd. And that's three nights a week and some weekends, and that goes to about December 15th. That's the first semester of the associate degree program, so you can continue into the degree program after taking the certificate program. Very powerful. We've got about 10 instructors, and it's the full range of how sound affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We also have those classes online as well, and it works really well. We've got interactive live instructors, and we do healings on each other. We do chants and mantras, and the lectures are, of course, just the same. It's really, really transformative. And that starts again on July 28th. You can also... We've got the audio recording program coming up starting September 3rd at the Institute. That's 3.5 months, and we teach you how to use the recording equipment, also how to use the equipment to make your recordings much more effective physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So we give you all the tricks to really make your music much deeper. And we also have that class online, and we're starting that next week if you wanted to do it online. It works really well. We've got Pro Tools, so it goes into the computer so you can see, not only see our Pro Tools live on the screen, but you can hear what I'm mixing in real time. We've got some events coming up also. We've got the Mount Shasta Sound Healing Retreat on August 31st and September 1st, and Emmanuel's going to be there, along with Beverly Wilson. Beverly is the crystal alchemical crystal bowl master of the world. She actually designs the different elements and metals and crystals that go into the crystal bowls. And she's going to be bringing them over to the retreat center. It's at the Stewart Springs Retreat Center, or hot springs, where they've got some of the most healing water you could imagine. So that's August 31st and September 1st. We've also got a Tibetan bowl concert on Saturday, August 16th at the Institute in San Francisco. And we also have, this coming week, we've got a class on the Kabbalah and sound with Rabbi Stephen Fizdell. Stephen is one of the masters of the Kabbalah, and he's going to be going through the Tree of Life and how all the different sephiroths in the Tree of Life contribute to the the whole concept of consciousness and healing. And he goes through the sounds for each of the sephiroths as well. So all that's happening. We also have our healing center. Manuel does do treatments over the phone from the through the center as well. So you can sign up for that. We also do quite a few other online treatments in our healing center at the school. We also have the store where we've got all different types of sound healing instruments. We've got Tibetan bowls, alchemical bowls, crystal bowls. We've got didgeridoos. We've got gongs. I mean, everything you could imagine. And all of this can be found at soundhealingcenter.com. Or you can email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com. Or you can call me at 415-777-2486. That's 415-777-2486. Well, you know, it's interesting. I have to tell you about Emmanuel. About 4 months ago or so, Emmanuel calls up and he says, "I've been working with cancer patients and hardly anybody still has the cancer after we've done treatments." And he says, "I want to donate myself to your research project, the GeneOhm Research Project. If you go to GeneOhm, that's GeneOhm.com, you'll see we're researching all the frequencies in the body." And so that was my introduction. And since then, Emmanuel's been up to the school, and now he's going to be teaching some classes at the Institute as well, some advanced classes. But the most exciting thing is really this, what Emmanuel is doing, is really the beginning of bringing, of taking back our power so we can heal ourselves and heal each other and not giving our power away to the medical industry. There will still be aspects of the medical field that are good, but to shift it so that it's really not hurting people. It's really helping people. You know, the way I think of it is there's two ways you can do healing or work with people in healing or also raising consciousness. One is to focus on what's wrong and either break it up or transform it by harmonizing it. The other is to not even focus on what's wrong and just focus on what's right and really resonate people into higher vibrations of love and light. It could be gratitude, compassion, love, joy, or it could be just a connection to soul or connection to source. And talking with Emmanuel, it seems that you do all of this. Tell us what you do, Emmanuel, from that perspective.
Well, from that perspective, in my experience, I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. And I started out with animals and then just old people in the neighborhood. And in my experience, most illness comes from the denial of self and shoving our emotions down. Mm-hmm. So the sound I use my voice is like a tuning fork, and it sends a vibration through the body to help push the energy that's blocked and to start to vibrate again. Along with that, when you shove those emotions down and stuff starts to move, it brings the emotions back up. So we have to get you through those emotions and teach you how to look at them so that you're aware of how you do that, when you do that, and changing your perspective so that you don't have to hold it down anymore and allow it to go free. That allows the body that where you were shoving it down to start to move in harmony again, and you get well. So it's basically teaching people how to be conscious and trust their empathy. We're all empathic to begin with, and we're taught not to trust it.
So it seems like there's really two aspects here. One is to learn in the first place how to not stuff your emotions and just be honest with yourself. And then the second is after things get in, then to be able to work with them to release them and transform them in the body at a cellular level. Would that
correct.
Be right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So
I've had
go ahead.
Success rate.
Tell me.
I've had a very good success rate. Out of 68 people, cancer-free out of 74 that I've worked with.
Wow.
Wow.
How many people do you have records of?
I have records of 9.
Uh-huh. That's
when
major.
I first started
that's
doing
still major.
It is. And I've done this through referral only, and most of the reason I don't have records is because I didn't want them telling anybody.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. It's interesting. You know, I have to tell you, I've got a bit of fear myself that I can easily overcome, though, that, you know, because it's interesting, it's like the pharmaceutical companies, if we start curing cancer left and right, and we teach people how to do this, I mean, it's going to freak out the powers that be.
Well, it's not only that. People are programmed that doctors are the only ones that can do things, and there's a certain level of consciousness that won't trust anybody but a doctor, no matter what. Yet doctors are people, and they make mistakes. I've had to deal with a lot of religious beliefs. I had a woman several months ago that I was helping her friend. Her friend is cancer-free. She was told that there's nothing the doctors can do for her, so I was asked to help her. I worked on her the first time. She felt great, no pain. And then she asked me if I was a Christian. I said, I believed in God, but I'm not a religious person. She wouldn't let me work on her because I'm not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
A month goes by, and I got a phone call. She was in tremendous pain. Could I please help? So halfway through the session, she started to call my name. I stopped. She said, you know, there's no more pain. I told her I was aware of that, but I wasn't finished. So after the session, she had no pain, and I've not heard a word from her since. Because I'm not a Christian, she doesn't want me to work on her her beliefs, so that it can't be right if I'm not Christian. But I get the last laugh. She's now seeing the woman that I helped, her physicians, and they're all Muslim. And they're all Middle Eastern. But because they're doctors, she doesn't care if they're Christian or not.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's funny. Just everybody's beliefs around the whole system are really just bizarre, really. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I worked with this one healer for 4 years, and she did healings on me for years. And finally, after paying like $200 an hour for every session, I realized I could do this. I could just work on myself. And it never occurred to me. And, you know, that's one thing that is really interesting. Well, let's talk, actually, maybe we'll talk about this later, but I was thinking what we should do is go ahead and do some sound now so people kind of get an idea of what we're talking about, and then we'll be able to go even deeper with it.
Okay.
Now, you want to just do just some sound? I was thinking maybe later to have you do a short treatment on me, if you think that might be appropriate.
We can do that.
What, you want to just do like an invocation or just some sound for the listeners now?
I'll do a short prayer.
Okay, cool.
You ready? Ooh. part of what I do when I use the sound, for me, the sound regulates the amount of energy that goes along with the sound. So as the tones increase, the amount of energy that flows increases or decreases accordingly.
I'm sorry, is this as far as volume or pitch?
Pitch, mostly.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes the volume plays a part in it, but it's the pitch that generally creates the vibration more.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound bounces. It isn't all coming from my voice. Some of it's coming from my body. So I've learned how to push the sound through different places of my body.
It's interesting. You're not like working with any like archangels or any higher beings, huh? Yes, sir.
The only higher being I work with is God. I open up, and whatever comes through is from Spirit.
Yeah.
So I have never
had
any identification other than God.
Cool. Perfect. Well, you know, it's interesting. When you actually do a treatment on someone, it's quite amazing, because I've had quite a few treatments, and because you're also a medical intuitive, you can really see inside the body and energetically see what's going on, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And it's interesting because when you just do a prayer like you did, it's really powerful, and I get chills and actually go to a place of stillness immediately, probably. I mean, even, I remember the first time I just heard the recording that happened. But when you're working inside my body, it's amazing because it's like I can tell you're really cruising around in there. And I think we talked about this. It sounds when you come across blockages, you mentioned that you do really much more dissonant sounds to break them up. Is that right?
Correct. The way it works for me is I close my eyes and I actually connect into you. And it's kind of like the easiest way that I've found to explain it, like when you're in the womb and you're listening to your mother's heartbeat and her blood flow and feeling her aches and pains. It's a very similar connection.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm working on you, sometimes I'll guide you to push into different spots, but I'm also pushing into those spots on my body, because as I push through, and it changes the pitch and the volume of the chant, but it also releases the energy on me so that I know it's released on you.
Uh-huh. So it's like you become my body in a way.
Kind of, yes.
Uh-huh.
It's an overlay.
Uh-huh. Now, you've mentioned that sometimes when somebody has cancer, that you actually release it in interesting ways or something?
I do. Sometimes it breaks up and goes away. Sometimes as the energy breaks up, my body absorbs it.
Uh-huh.
And I get sick. I throw up mucus, and if I've pulled the cancer, there's blood in the mucus.
Wow. So do you have a process that you do to release it yourself, or does it just happen naturally?
It happens naturally, but if I go in and sleep, I tend to hibernate like a bear.
Uh-huh.
It goes away a lot easier.
Uh-huh.
So,
and you mentioned that with like someone that has done chemo, it's like it's a bummer, huh?
It is. I'm not sure how, but as my body absorbs whatever energy I'm taking, it will actually leave a chemically film in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives my body odor a very sour, sour smell. I can't wash it off. And it dissipates anywhere from a few hours to a couple of days. And there's nothing I can do but allow it to process through.
Uh-huh.
I've tried lots of things.
Huh.
And So far, the only thing that works is sleep and allowing it to process through.
But it's not just cancer you work on. You work on, really, you're working on any blockages. But it, this is
absolutely
the other thing I think it's really cool that you've mentioned before, is you're not just working on the blockages, breaking them up. You're also resonating what's right in the person, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a balance.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure why, but prior to my introducing myself to you, I only did this work through referral. And it seemed that it was mostly people with cancer or leukemia that were referred to me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that I've worked on were schizophrenic. I've worked on people who were depressed and alcoholic. I've worked with people who had Lyme disease, lupus. But they were mostly, you know, a few people here and there. And predominantly, it's just been cancer. People with
mm-hmm.
cancer.
You know,
so
I had this one woman that worked on me. Let me put it this way. The thing that I really, really appreciate with having treatments with you and that I know about you from having treatments is your sensitivity as to how much someone can handle. Because I've had treatments in the past, a few treatments. In fact, I had one treatment that you actually helped me get over, where people have gotten really powerful and they do a treatment on somebody with sound and it just completely blows me away and it takes me weeks to recover because they go beyond. And, you know, I had this one other woman who worked on me who was actually very good herself. And she said that when she got, I said, what the hell are you doing in there? And she said, well, I find the stuck energy. And then she said, she rocks it. And then I said, oh, it's a frequency. Is that all the frequency you see? And she says, no, I see the God frequency in people as well. And I said, well, let's just resonate that. Tell me what that is, and we'll just resonate that in everybody. And she says, no, you can't do that, Dave. People will have healing crises and get really sick. And that's what I really like, is that I can tell you're so sensitive that you really don't blow people out of the water, which is so easy when people are that powerful.
Well, I like that woman. The woman is absolutely correct, and I'm actually getting ready to, you know, work with you and put together a documentary about sound healing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the focuses I have is that there are so many people out there right now doing this that don't have an understanding of how sound truly affects the body, which is what made me happy because you teach people that.
Mm-hmm.
But sound releases so much emotional stuff because your body, where it's holding those emotions, once it starts to move, it has to be felt. It has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So when I open somebody and I've pushed too hard, I take the responsibility to, no matter what time they call me, no matter how many sessions it takes me to get them rebalanced, I do that. I had a woman recently, I had to work on her three additional times to fix the emotions that I opened on the first session.
Uh-huh.
And those were considered the same session because I caused that to open because I pushed a little too much.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, that's part of being connected to you so that I can feel when it's too much in me and stop, because I don't want you to end up in bed for a week. I want you to get through it a little at a time until you're strong enough to deal with it on your own.
Cool. Now this
and
is
then
an
interesting. Have...
Mm-hmm. Now this brings up an interesting question that I sometimes come across, and that is, some people say that when you do healing on others, you can take on karma, because you might be taking away their opportunity to learn the lesson that issue is bringing up for them. What's your take on
well,
that?
Well, that depends on your intent and your doing it. And mm-hmm. when I start this process, I make it very clear. I am not a healer. I do not heal you. I get you strong enough to heal yourself and teach you how to make the choices and decisions that are right for you and your highest truth.
Nice.
So I don't take any karma that way. The whole onus on your healing becomes your own.
Perfect.
So it's
Perfect.
Not my job to heal you. It's my job to get you strong enough to heal yourself.
Yeah. And that's ultimately where we're headed, is not only is also to teach people how to do this so that they can actually do it on their self, or they can do it on each other. Because, you know, I remember with this one woman that I was just mentioning, I worked with her for 4 years, and at a certain point, I got to the point where I would get a little ache, or I would have something going on emotionally, and I would think, oh, I've got to call Morgana. I've got to call her. And finally, I realized I had given my power away to her. Even though she was very much in integrity, I had, like instead of thinking, oh, wait a second. No, I should just do my own work on myself here instead of calling her. And that's
like... And that tends to happen.
Yeah.
That tends to happen with a lot of healers. And myself, I want you strong enough and out of my life as soon as possible. And generally, I generally don't have to work on anybody past 3 or 4 months if I'm working on them every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, I'm done in, you know, half a dozen to a dozen sessions, and then I check in once a year. It's not a big process once people understand how easy it is, just
cool.
to be honest. And that's the hardest part.
Yeah, right. It's like our society... It has so much entrainment in the patterns of not being honest. And I think even when you become honest, it's like so easy to get entrained into that craziness again.
And the first lesson, the very first lesson most children get is, be careful, what are people going to think? Don't do that, don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then we watch our parents lie, and we learn to, you know, to do it. There's a lot of things that children are taught that end up becoming lifelong patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were children, it was, you know, what are people going to think? You can't do that. You can't dress that way. You can't. So we've learned to condition ourselves not to express our feelings.
It was so interesting. There's the Anita Morjani video. She's now, you know, touring with Wayne Dyer. And she had 4th stage cancer and went into the light and had a near-death experience. And she learned in the light that she saw all the fear she has, mostly around what other people think. And she realized that now that fear was completely gone, that all the tumors would go away. And they did within a month.
That generally happens, yes.
It's amazing. Because, you know, I've done some classes on fear, and it seems like there you can't really focus on the fear. It's like you really have to just go straight to love. It's not like you're gonna break up the fear. That's the impression I've got. What's your take on that?
Well, the problem is, you can never really get rid of fear. Fear is always going to be present. What you need to learn to do is embrace it, hold on to it, and walk through it, and not let it have control.
Uh-huh.
So once you do that, then you have a semblance of being fearless, but it's our nature and part of just the survival instinct. There's always going to be that initial push. And sometimes, you know, the greatest forms of fear promote the greatest acts of heroism.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, any man who runs into machine guns and said he's not afraid is a liar.
Uh-huh.
But he can still find the courage to be a hero by overcoming his fear and not letting it take control.
Perfect. Nice. So, you want to do a little treatment on me?
Sure.
Okay. I assume after you work with somebody more than once, you kind of get to know them really, really well, huh? Does it become a little easier?
It's a little easier, plus we've already opened some of the blockages, so I don't have to push as hard. I worked with a woman who was, been in pain for over 15 years, and I had to work on her every day for the first few weeks just to get her strong enough to hold it for more than a day.
Uh-huh.
And just recently, I finally got through her walls, and the way the energy flows and the effort that I had to exert to move the energy shifted. Prior to her opening up, I would be drenched with sweat at the end of a session, and now I'm very happy and have lots of energy.
Cool.
And she's pretty much pain-free for at least a day or two, and I have to go back and push again. So I'm on the downward stroke with her, and she's almost strong enough to take care of herself.
Uh-huh. Cool.
It makes it worth the effort. So I'm going to have you place your left hand over your stomach, and we're going to see if we can move a little bit. Ready?
Yeah.
Breathe into your stomach, into your belly button, and here we go.
It made me really present with the energy in the room and looking out the window at the trees and also really very high. I just feel like I'm in an altered state, but a really great altered state.
Well, good place to be.
What did you see? What is it like doing a treatment on me?
Well, actually now it's a very joyful ride. In the beginning, when we had some issues in the stomach, it was a little hard, but it's very pleasant now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really so, notice it, too. Things have really shifted for me in my digestion in the last few weeks.
They have. You're doing really good. So
you see, you know, in the classes, I have one whole class where I find a person's soul frequency. We find their home note, which I believe is, you know, that place where they're at peace. And you've given me the impression that you go right to that. Is that true?
Well, I do, in a sense. I'm trying to uncover that.
Uh-huh.
Recognizing it is a small aspect. I make the attempt to free it. So many of us do not live our truths. And some of us, it's as simple as, you know, what we were taught. Some of us, it's the circumstances in which we placed ourselves in being trapped.
Mm-hmm.
So once we find that frequency and you learn to vibrate in harmony with yourself, then you have an opportunity to look at things and make choices that are better for you and not the people that you need to please.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. You know, I always couldn't really figure out the threshold between pleasing or being caring versus not caring and just taking care of yourself. And I finally got it just recently. Actually, we were talking about it in a class. The idea is the second that, let me put it this way. I know a lot of people that are very much in their power. I mean, I guess I know some people, not a lot, that are very much in their power, but they actually aren't very caring people for others. I mean, they don't really take on the fear of what other people think, but they're not caring. And on the other hand, there's people that don't care what other people think about them, and they're still very caring. And I see you as that way as well. And that's interesting because when you don't care what people think, it's like you don't let it affect you or get into your system at all, but you can still be totally caring and not give yourself away.
Well, that's where humility and finally letting go of the ego comes in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's really truly about unconditional love.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I live by a few very strict guidelines. First and foremost, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Right.
And when people are ignorant, rather than dig into the emotions and push back and whatever, I find myself taking a step back, looking at where they're at, and how I can diffuse the situation or enlighten their life in a manner that is least offensive and doesn't hurt my integrity. And a lot of people that are in their power and are not caring and generous have not really mastered and let go of the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And they've become separate. And the whole goal is to realize that we're all connected. We're all part of the same energies, the same divine existence. And there is no separation.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, the only way they know how to live in their power is to bulldoze and push everything else away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend that was teasing me, telling me that, you know, I used a sledgehammer when I only needed a feather. And we were at a not good part of town, and I went into a 7-Eleven, and several young men chased a boy into the 7-Eleven, and they wanted to beat him. Mm. And I defused the situation. I went to the guy who was in charge and talked to him in, you know, his language that he could understand, and explained to him that, you know, it wasn't right to do this in the man's store, that eventually they'll close and the boy will have to come out and they can deal with it that way. But there was no need to hurt anybody here. And I started out with, I mean no disrespect, and I spoke to him in a loving manner, pointed out what he was doing, how he was doing it, and if it really meant that much to him and they really needed to hurt the boy, they should do it somewhere else and not affect people who weren't in trouble or who were innocent. So the situation was diffused, and when I got back into the car, my friend said, you see, you used a feather. They all had knives and baseball bats. What was I going to do? And she laughed and said, but it's the way you did it. It was not, I mean, most people would have been afraid if guys were standing there with knives and baseball bats.
Right. You know, I have to tell you a similar story. When I was 16, I grew up in Georgia, and at this point when I was in high school, I was living in a county that was one of the most redneck counties in all of Georgia. I mean, it was...
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. It was, like, intense. And I was at a party once, and these rednecks pulled out knives and stabbed some people. And I walked up to him, and he's holding the knife with blood on it. And I walked up to him, and with eyes of compassion, I said, I forget what I said, actually. It's been too long ago. But I got him to put the knife away and leave.
Yeah. Well, most people only attack out of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Or being demeaned.
That's true. But that's still another form of fear.
Uh-huh.
Anger is just a form of fear.
Right. So tell me now, how could you teach people, what might be the path to teach people to be able to do this themselves? I have to tell you that first of all, there's a student in the online class that you've been working with. And last month, this student, his name's David, he comes to me and says, David, I've been working with Emmanuel, and I've just worked with this guy with cancer, and he went to the hospital and he doesn't have cancer anymore. I'm like, whoa, it can be taught, you know? But it's interesting because I know some people aren't high enough consciousness or aware enough, but I still hold out hope that anybody, because it's really our birthright, that anybody can do this.
Anybody can. Mm-hmm. And what the secret is, if you go outside and you look up in the air, you'll see little floating dots. That's energy. That's what the Indians call prana. That's divine energy. That's what heals. But if you're not breathing and you're shoving energy down, there's no way for it to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And the main key to doing what I do and to be able to teach it is teaching people how to have and trust their empathy. David is a very, very sensitive empath, and I was able to show him how to listen and how to know where to push the sound and where to push the energy, and just to hold space. And a lot of times you just need to hold space for people to heal, and great healings pass on. There's a gentleman who does what he calls gazing, and mm-hmm. his name's Brazzo.
Oh,
and he comes out for 7 minutes and he stands there and he doesn't say a word. And he calls it gazing, but what he's really doing is he's holding space for people to let go and allow God's energy to come in and heal them. because it's already there.
I've seen him a dozen times, and when the second he steps out on stage, I just start crying.
Well, he's holding space, which is a tremendous gift. I've done it, but God bless him. I wouldn't do what he does. It's I would feel like a pincushion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's helping a level of consciousness that needs what he does. And, again, it's all the same energy. It's all here. We just have to open ourselves up to it. And I was able to teach David to open up to his empathy and allow himself to feel where he was doing with the energy, where he was directing it, and how it, you know, affected by not taking anything personal. You can't, you got to let go. You can't even exist when you're working with somebody. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been paying attention to the things that I do and the way I work with my voice and the way I push the energy and trying to develop a way to teach that for your classes. And I'm going to take a video camera very shortly and videotape a couple of the clients, because the way I dig in and move some of the sound is dependent upon on how much I dig in, where I push, because if I push my fingers to the left a little bit, the frequency will change just a little bit. And sometimes I can get 5 or 6 different tones or frequencies at one time just by the way I'm digging in and where I'm pushing the sound from.
It's so interesting because, you know, I just shared with you the video of this guy who's actually now developing a system with ultrasound to be able to break up tumors. And it's so, I think with the research, what will be really interesting is to see, to pin it down to, so we can record a session and maybe have MRI going while the session is happening, and then we can, and then try and keep track of what you're doing energetically, but we can then definitely tell what you're doing with the frequencies by just recording it, and then compare exactly what frequencies and what things do what to, at certain times. Now, it's the way I think about it is that there, it's really not as much frequency, and see what you think about this. I think it's not as much frequency, or it is tonality, but it's also creating a flow. It's the movement, not just the static frequencies.
It is the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Everything vibrating moves. It's absolutely the movement. If it's not moving when it's vibrating, then there's no life there.
Yeah. So it's like, that's probably one thing that occurs to me. It's not just the frequencies. It's the subtle changes in the frequencies that are happening and the tonalities that are really... But I think it's mapping the frequencies to the cancer or whatever you're working on, and then slowly shifting them.
It's if you've ever tried to start a car and it goes vroom, 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 it's a similar thing where you push the cells to vibrate where they're supposed to, and mm-hmm. because they've been knotted and held at bay for so long, sometimes you got to push them, take a step back, and they'll go, nah, nah, and then stop, and then you got to push them again until they start vibrating where they're supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm in that phase of the healing session, I have to do it every 2 or 3 days. If it goes past 3 days, then I have to start over again, because it can only hold that vibration a couple of days until it gets strong enough to hold it on its own.
Uh-huh. You know, I've always thought that when things are off, it's not that they've gone out of tune. It's that they're just buzzing, or just, it's almost like they're just doing a static or a distortion. as they're just kind of going instead of humming.
Yeah, there's a distortion.
Uh-huh. I think if something is actually out of tune in the body, that's serious. Now you've got like something that's like completely transformed into something else, which could be the cancer. Cancer is something that's actually tuned into a different frequency.
And you can actually hear it. If you've ever been in a quiet place and you hear this high-pitched buzzing, that's where you're hearing yourself, and it's not quite right. So a lot of those high pitches that we see, that we hear, is actually ourselves.
I notice it in my endocrine glands more than any other place. Well, endocrine glands and digestion is in my intestines is where I really notice these buzzes. And I found that if I simply tune into them and sing to them, I can get them to stop buzzing really easily.
Yes, you can. You can. And again, I don't get sick. When I do, I sit down and I look at what it is that I've allowed into my consciousness and what I have to let go of. And focus the energy where it's not right and force it to move again, and it goes away. I went to the hospital 2 years ago for a gallstone. I didn't know what it was. I was in tremendous pain. I couldn't get my mind around, you know, letting go. But once they told me what it was, I was able to isolate the place and get it to vibrate properly so that within an hour, I was virtually pain-free.
Oh, cool.
They wanted to give me morphine. I wouldn't take it. And I ended up staying in the hospital for 4 days because they couldn't believe that, you know, I was okay. And they wanted to monitor me. Then they wanted to take my gallbladder out, and I wouldn't let them do that either. It was taken care of. I took care of it. So they all looked at me like I was crazy and couldn't understand.
Wouldn't it be cool if one day we could have, everybody could have their own personal, and this could very well happen, everybody could have their own personal real-time fMRI that is non-invasive and does not hurt you. Then we could totally be able to, I mean, that would be the big deal, because MRI is so amazing, because you can see precisely, you get feedback exactly on what's going. Or we just develop our own internal MRI where we can all see and without it.
And you can. You can feel where your body's out of whack and where things need to be moved. And, you know, I get up every morning. I take inventory of how I feel, what's aching, what's not aching. And as things change during the day, I'm able to step back and look at why they changed and what it is I need to deal with. And it's surprising how much other people's stuff we just pick up as a matter of course and think it's our own.
Well,
rather than look at it, we take Tums and aspirin.
We're about out of time. You know, people can book sessions through the school, but do you want to give your contact info in case people want to get in touch with you directly?
They can go to my SoundCloud and listen to some of my recordings. It's soundcloud.com/divine, D-E-V-I-N-E, hyphen harmonics, H-A-R-M-O-N-I-C-S. And they can always leave a message there or with you and listen to some of the recordings. The recordings are mostly of clients. There are a few that are not, but mostly they're from sessions from clients.
Cool. Great. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show. And thanks for doing the treatment. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Very welcome.
Again, we take the intention of this show, which is that we can all heal ourselves and heal each other and not have to give our power away to the crazy medical system that we have to work with. So we hold that intention.
In general.
What's that?
That and society in general.
Yeah, no kidding. So we hold that intention into the evening, into the rest of the weekend and the week, weeks ahead, months ahead, maybe years and lifetimes ahead. We don't have to hold that intention anymore, where we all have our power to heal ourselves. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Take care.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye.